The Reconstructionist Radio Podcast Network presents Reconcast, a podcast where two homeschool dads share the applications of faith in everyday family life.
Reconcast episode one. Your co-host Daniel Stahosky and Joseph Graham.
Hey,
take
it
away, Joe.
Hey, how's it going there, Dan?
It's going pretty good today.
Hey, glad that we could actually finally kick this thing off. This Reconcast, a little catchy in the name. Hopefully, it picks up. I'm glad that we can get together.
Likewise, looking forward to it. I think this is going to be a really fun opportunity for us to talk about things that are important and about how to reconstruct our life.
Yeah. I think maybe we should kind of give a little bit of background here right off the bat about some of the things we were thinking about as far as the impetus behind wanting to have this kind of like a dad-to-dad conversation and just kind of discuss, you know, what are the things that were on our hearts and what we were concerned about. So maybe you can kind of talk a little bit from your half about why, you know, why it piqued your interest.
Yeah, absolutely. So as father of five children out here in the beautiful Northwest, this is a period of time in our history where persecution is coming. It has come to many Christians. It is coming to more, I believe. And we have to be prepared. We have to be encouraging each other and edifying one another. And to be able to come on a podcast like this with another dad to talk through the issues and talk through it in a way that gives dads encouragement and through the lens of looking how do we equip and edify our children and our wives and ourselves, that's really what's driving me. So looking forward to picking up topics and going after it and just having a little bit of a free form conversation, as we would say if we were over at each other's house.
Sure, absolutely. And for me, dad of eight wonderful children and my lovely wife. So basically, you know, our family, we are kind of in the mix, in the thick of it out here in Washington, just trying to figure out how exactly do we fit in, or how are we supposed to fit in? How are we supposed to be governing our lives, dictating what we do with our time, what we do with our opportunities? How do we educate our children? What are the things that we should hold up as being important and whatnot? And that really has kind of become in our home kind of like a running commentary on life. So mom and dad just kind of going through life, doing what we do, and then just having discussions with the children, with the family about what's important, what's come up, and what does the Bible have to say about it? Why is it something that we need to be taking note of or thinking about, essentially? So for us, we had talked about something that we wanted to kind of discuss as a topic here for this first podcast. And so we decided that we're going to talk about why going to the Religious Liberties Conference of 2015 is important for our families. So I think, do you have any background information about what exactly the Religious Liberties Conference is, or who's putting it on, and kind of what's the info? What exactly is the conference?
Yeah, so what I did is I went to generationswithvision.com and pulled up their site, and they are the sponsoring group. They are putting on this National Religious Liberties Conference called Freedom 2015. And if you follow the link there, their taglines are, it's the nation's largest religious liberties conference, dozens of nationally known speakers, a presidential candidate forum. In fact, one presidential candidate is already committed, Ben Carson, and then allowing early bird special. They're really giving this away almost for free. For a large family like ours, it's still only $99 as of today.
Really?
If we had signed up yesterday, maybe it would have been $69.
Whoa. You didn't sign up already?
Well, I didn't pull the trigger yet.
I did.
When you mentioned it,
I was like, oh, I'm just gonna do it. Because I saw, I was like, oh, for it was like $69. That's easy.
Good for you.
I don't even know if I'm going to make it or not. I really do plan on making it. But I figured even if I just send them some money, it would be worth it.
I'm glad I heard that. I'm glad we did that. So, yeah. So I'm going to spend $30 more. And that's okay because actually one of the really neat things about this is any profit from this conference is donated to persecuted Christians in the U.S. and around the world. So
yeah,
they're not doing this as a get-rich scheme. They're not trying to make money for themselves. They're trying to cover the cost of the venue and the cost of the speakers, and then really just try to equip Christians to, as they say, prepare for what might come. We're not fatalists. It doesn't have to go this way. We believe God can act. But what they're saying this conference is about, it's strategizing to defend liberties. It's encouraging to stay in the battle, educating on the historical battle for freedom, teaching to handle persecution as Christ would, and directing our leaders to bow the knee to the King of Kings. So that's their heart. And Christian parents, schools, colleges, and teachers, Christian business owners and employees, Christian pastors and chaplains, Christian statesmen, churchmen, should be attending this. I think this is going to become the issue for Christians for the 2016 elections. And so I think it's really important that we do this.
Yeah. And that's how I'm kind of treating it. Even when I talk to other people is that, hey, this is an important conference that we need to go to. And so I think that we should kind of go over some of the reasons why this conference is extremely important. So, yeah, like you said, this is not a money-making endeavor for them. And if you listen to some of the commercials that they have, there's definitely a lot that's going on in the world, and we can see our liberties eroding week by week, day by day, when you turn on the news. And so it's really something that's become quite pertinent to Christians today. And something that we kind of need to address and talk about. So I have I got the most recent email. I think it was the same email that you got, Dan, that we kind of talked about. And so they gave their five reasons to attend the Freedom 2015 conference. So maybe we'll just kind of run through those real quick, and then we'll kind of go back and forth about our own personal reasons for it. Okay.
That sounds great.
All right. So the first thing that they say here, number one reason to attend for them, is to get equipped, educated, and encouraged by dozens of national speakers, religious liberty advocates, historians, and theologians to basically defend and stand for our critical liberties and prepare our children to fight for freedom, present the hope of the gospel in a post-Christian culture, pass on the legacy of freedom to our children on the 800th anniversary of the Magna Carta. Did you know that was coming up, the Magna Carta anniversary?
It's fantastic. Yeah. Yep.
And then lastly, understand the theology of issues like civil disobedience and the doctrine of interposition. So on this first one, I think definitely there's a lot of education that we're kind of hoping to glean, right?
Yep.
For us individually and personally, and then for our families especially. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds right. I think education, one of the things to consider is we are uniquely equipped for this period of time. God has deemed in his providence that we would be at this pinnacle of history. And so we need to be looking at it from that perspective. And there are many who have studied history and seen patterns and trends over, the course of centuries. And to be able to put that in the context and learn from that and how God has worked in the past and apply that to today and how can God work today is really, really important. My children are a little younger, and so though they're able to grasp all of that, I think being around that kind of a community and getting that put into them at that early age is going to be valuable as they get prepared to face what the Lord has for them as they get older.
Right. So at least this first point from there on their perspective was kind of a main initial perspective about why I felt that this conference was important. Because so basically, as far as I'm concerned, we need to be able to explain to our children or show our children or our families and those around us who we are, what's our Christian identity, what is it exactly that we support, and why do we do what we do, mm-hmm. right? So I felt like going to this conference or other conferences, and obviously we've gone to homeschool conferences and some other things like that, it helps us to continually be reminded or be engaged about the issues and the people, the things that are important that we need to focus on, that it's not just a Sunday morning exercise, but that it's something we're actually planning for, learning about, and committed to. You know, the issues that comprise the Christian life, right? All of the Christian life. So, and like you said, for your children, you know, your children are, you know, a little bit younger than mine are, you know, mine are kind of spanning the full range, but but even for the little children, you know, they're going and they see the pattern of our life and they kind of just fall into the groove of what it is that we do. So, When they think about what's normal, what's your children's normal, it's going to be, we go to church on Sundays and we go to conferences and hear about various things that are happening in the church and what Christ is doing in these different areas and how these other Christians are engaging with life in all these different ways. And we meet people and we fellowship with them and sing with them, pray with them, eat with them, whatever. And we make time. We make time to do that, right? And even something as simple as that, it has a profound impact on our children's lives.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And, you know, I think another reason why we need to get equipped is if we can look in the mirror as Christians in America, we have not been persecuted nearly as much as the rest of the church across the world. You go to other countries and persecution to them is extremely real. People have died. There's a story of especially with ISIS and things going on in the Middle East, Christians being beheaded, hung, burned at the stake, even today. These aren't stories from 500 years ago. These are stories from just last week. And in America, we don't know what that's like. And what I'm hoping we get from this first bullet point of get equipped, educated, and encouraged is an understanding of how to think about that, how to build our confidence and to stand for our critical liberties regardless of the cost, and to know that Christ is going to fight for us when we are being persecuted, to be encouraged in that and strengthened,
yeah.
I think is really important, and to understand where and when civil disobedience is appropriate, and how to do that in a God honoring, Christ honoring way is really important.
Yeah, no, it'll be really interesting to hear what they have to say about that. All right, so this the second bullet here that they have, five reasons to attend. So they're going to have a persecution panel. And basically, they're looking to help people strengthen their faith by hearing the courageous stories of those who've been persecuted for their faith. And so I think they have a couple highlighters here, so keynotes. The Benham brothers and Nagme Abedini. Do you know anything about either two of these individuals?
I know a little bit about the Benham brothers. They had a TV show. I believe it was on TLC or one of those stations, and their show was canceled because of their faith, and yet it was a very popular show at the time.
Right. So I think I heard the same thing. So they had some kind of they didn't support you know, personally, based on their faith, homosexual marriage. And so basically TLC said, well, we're going to pull the plug on you because you don't have the same values as us, or or you're not tolerant enough. And so we can't tolerate your intolerance, or something to that effect.
Yep.
Right. So and I think that definitely is something that's going to be coming up quite a bit, and quite a bit more for Christians everywhere. So and I think the other, Nagma Abedini, this is the wife of the American pastor Saeed Abedini, and I kind of have heard some of the background information about them. And basically he, her husband has been imprisoned in Iran, since 2012. So I think, you know, however many days it's been at least a couple of years, if not a little bit longer.
That's right.
So, and I know that that's been going on for quite some time, and it's kind of been an issue that they've been looking to try to get her husband released. At least she's been petitioning for it. Other Christians have been petitioning for it. And there just hasn't seemed to be a whole lot of political, U.S. political support, even in the face of all these Iran sanctioned discussions that have been going on as far as the nuclear armaments deal. So I think she's going to be coming in and talking about, obviously talking about a real, real persecution that's happening, right now. And so, so as far as the persecution piece is concerned, so for our family this year, and another reason why this is important for us, we happen to be this year in our homeschool curriculum covering, basically the period of history from the fall of the Roman Empire all the way up to, I think, the Protestant Reformation. So throughout that entire period of time is pretty much like the beginning of the history of Christian martyrdom, right? And so there's going to be plenty of times where we're pulling out Fox's Book of Martyrs and learning about all the various martyrs that have been going on through history. And I think it's going to be helpful for us because usually, you know, we can have that feeling that, you know, we're not really necessarily tied to historical events and kind of seem disassociated from it. And so I think that'll be helpful to kind of realize that no, persecution is still happening today. And as you had mentioned, it's actually a lot more severe in other countries away from the United States.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. All right, so let's see. Ready to go on to the third one here? All right, now this is a big one for me. All right, so the third one they have here is fellowship. Meet and network with Christians from across the country who care about religious liberty and freedom.
This is really a critical one.
Yeah. So what do they say here? To ignore what the liberal media, government, and those opposed to religious liberty would have you believe and realize that you are not alone.
It's so important. That's actually one of the things I wrote down before even seeing this email. One of the important things for my family is encouragement that we are not alone. We don't need to feel like Elijah, who said, you know, there is nobody else serving God. There is a conference of people. There are people across the country who will not bow the knee to Baal, or the government, and who will desire to serve Christ unabashed. And so this is a great opportunity to get to know them, to fellowship, meet them, because who knows, if persecution occurs in your hometown and you have to flee, just imagine that. What if you had to flee? If you have networked with a Christian in another part of the country, you can call them and you can be at their doorstep and they'll welcome you in. And that can only happen if you've met them and if you've been able to connect with them. And I think a conference like this is the perfect opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I think it's really important because it helps you meet other people who are prioritizing the same things that you are. Mm-hmm. Right. So they obviously feel that it's important enough to go and meet people and make their presence known. So I think it's critical for us because again, it plays a huge factor for us spiritually and emotionally when we feel like we're out on an island And there's nobody out there who is going through the things that we are. And I think sometimes, especially in our own local churches, we just have a hard time, you know, kind of meeting together, a meeting of the minds on some of the issues that we seem most important to us personally. And somehow, when we end up going to these conferences, we end up meeting other people that have these convictions that maybe for some reason doesn't happen on the local level. And we have an instant connection with them, you know, that they view their family a certain way, that they have that they view the kingdom in a certain way, and that they're taking their faith and, you know, actively pursuing, you know, understanding more about the Christian life and trying to meet other people as well. So I also think it's important, too, because then we get to meet a lot of the different leaders and obviously get to make some friends. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a big one. There's a lot of relationships that are occurring. I mean, when you go to a conference, yeah. And I'm imagining there are probably going to be a lot of homeschool families at this conference as well. And usually homeschool families, you know, they roll pretty deep. You know, they're showing up in the gigantic mm-hmm. passenger vans and stuff. You know, they're showing up en masse. And, you know, when, you know, for me, when I roll into one of those conferences and I look in the parking lot and I just see, you know, 200 passenger vans, I'm like, oh, praise God.
That's right.
You know, it's like, these are my people.
That's right. I'm going to be accepted here. I won't be looked at oddly here.
Right. And we know that we can fit a passenger van inside of a compact space, okay? It can be right. Done. And we do it all the time, okay? But no, and then you see all these children pouring out, and they, you know, and they're making friends like it's summer camp. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just super fast, and they're getting to know each other, and they're making connections. And think about all the relationships that are occurring on that second generational level, and what kind of a difference that's going to make for the kingdom in the future, because they're going to turn into future pastors, elders, businessmen, you know, they're going to be moms, dads out there, you know, and they're going to be the ones that, you know, are going to be carrying the torch on. So they're going to need that much networking just like we are.
I think absolutely, if not more so. And something you said there is really important in the religious liberty circles is getting to know the leaders. This is when you go to conferences like this, they're available to meet with you and to get to know you. And you get – by doing that, it just breaks down the gap and between – you know, you all of a sudden you get to humanize them. You realize they're just dads. They're just moms just like us. And they're working it through every day just like us. And in some ways, you get to know, are they the real deal or not? And it's really important that we get to know them and can understand, almost hold them accountable to some degree to live for Christ and be real and have the faith that's required, especially with these presidential candidates that may be appearing. Who are they? You know, you get to ask them their questions, actually meet them as they're running, and maybe it's an opportunity to pray for them, pray with them, encourage them, strengthen them, because it's a hard road to hoe. And if we can be a part of inspiring and pushing them forward in their walk with the Lord and their journey, I think it's a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the also part of the fourth bullet that they have here, which is the meet the candidates, make an impact on the most important election for religious liberties to date. So, and obviously this is the whole emphasis, not necessarily meeting the candidates, but talking about religious liberties and finding out, hey, what do these individual people feel about Christians who want to bake a cake or not bake a cake, you know, something right. that seems so simple and that has been completely perverted by the culture to say you don't even have the freedom to say you will or won't do something and exercise your own choices as far as who you're going to provide services to or who you won't provide services to. which seems unthinkable, not that long ago, but now has become, you know, something so much to the point that people are getting fined over very, very simple issues like that. Obviously, the other thing is that because the culture is shifting so rapidly, it's, you know, progressing so quickly, this shifting sand under our feet, what sort of position are we going to be in? And I don't even know if a candidate can answer this question, but it may just be you know, a church answer. But in some way, we have to be able to have the freedom to obey God rather than men. And I think that there are plenty of Christians who are going to go ahead and take that road, no matter what happens. But this gives us a chance to at least find out, you know, how far do they take our ability to exercise our religious rights, you know, and be free and make the choices that we, you know, feel compelled to make.
Yep. You know? Absolutely.
All right. Let's see. Their last one here is experience the inspiring reenactment of Patrick Henry's timeless Give Me Liberty speech and the Second Virginia Convention. I honestly could say I don't know much about this. Do you know much about this?
Well, I know about the Give Me Liberty speech. I don't think I could really speak the Second Virginia Convention. And to all my brothers in the South who are from Virginia, I sincerely apologize. And please don't hold it. I live in the Northwest. I mean, our history of America is tainted. So, you know, give me that. But, yeah, no, I remember the Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. They actually taught me that. Mm-hmm. I was public schooled, and they taught me that speech in public school. But I can't pinpoint exactly the Second Virginia Convention of 1775. Okay. So
that's all right. I think we'll have some time here to research a little bit. So what we're looking at here is November 6th. It's going to be in Des Moines, Iowa, is where the conference is going to be at. And apparently, you know, you still need to buy your tickets. I've bought my tickets. Now the tough thing is getting there, right?
There's some logistics involved.
A little bit of logistics.
So how do you think about this? What do you think?
All right. So, well, I sent out a request to find out how much, you know, just kind of like to get a query for how much it's going to cost. Okay.
Let's first break down what are the different options we have for getting out there. We could charter aircraft. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
So we could fly our families out there. That's one option.
Yeah.
We could charter. What other things could we charter? Could we charter a train?
You could charter a bus. Can you charter a train? I don't. No, I've never heard of that.
Probably not.
You can charter a bus for sure. Planes. I don't know about trains. Automobiles? Okay. That's a bus.
Yeah, a bus.
Yeah. I wouldn't take a boat.
No. Not, I wouldn't recommend not to Iowa. That.
Nope. Not this time. Yeah, so that you can charter something. Then your other option is obviously to drive yourself, right?
Yeah, so you drive your own vehicle. You could maybe rent an RV. Drive an RV out there. Make it little bit of an adventure.
All right, so from us, do you know how far it is?
Yeah, it's about 2,000 miles or so.
Yeah, it's 1,750 miles from Seattle to Des Moines. So that's 3,500 miles round trip.
Yep, it's a lot of miles on your vehicle.
Okay. Yeah, so and then if you're taking your own vehicle, and obviously we're going to need a couple of vehicles here, you know, that's a lot. That's a lot of miles. So that's kind of a huge factor. So I had talked to you about, you know, if we drive, about how far we can make it in a day, you know, and so my children, my family, at about 100 miles, you know, going 60 miles an hour, we're, you know, getting close to the 2 hour mark, and they're starting to burn out. You know, it's a little bit much. If I can hit 120 miles, dead on 2 hours, even, you know, averaging 60. And they're about done. And I think the most I've been able to squeeze out of a leg is like 150 miles,
okay.
Which is another half an hour. That's like 2.5 hours. Okay. So so that means I'm stopping. And in every stop is what? I mean, 20 minutes on the good side.
You'd almost look at it through a matrix. How many minutes per child, right? I mean, you have eight children, so you're adding on several minutes there. Just getting them buckled. We can't.
Well, we'll see it. As soon as we stop the car, it's like, where are the shoes? Why does this person not have pants on anymore? You know, get them out. You know, we open the door and stuff falls out, and we got to pick it back up and put it back in the van. You know, so yeah. If we're very efficient, we can make it out and in 20 minutes.
That's moving pretty quick.
Right. So that means basically you're taking at least 3 hours to go 150 miles.
Yeah. We're going to need. And we have 1,700, give or take, miles to the destination, door to door, so to speak. So we're going to need to pick the pace up a little bit, make sure we can extend a little further. So that kind of puts you in the category of driving yourself may not be the best option. So RV, the nice thing about a motorhome, restrooms are included. You can be.
Now, I think that's the big thing is that you got to have a restroom. Because if you don't have a restroom, then, as a dad, how much sympathy do you feel when you get the I got to go potty card pulled?
I mean, we're stopping pretty quick.
Like it's an automatic Trump.
I mean, I know dads who have been able to, bypass that and just shut it down. And they say, no.
They're like,
no, we are not stopping.
And then there's no repercussions for that? Because I tell you, my kids do not have a problem with peeing their seat. Okay? They will do it, and they have done it before.
You know, this podcast isn't to kind of analyze your parenting skills, but...
No, I'm just telling you that they will call my bluff, okay?
I have a sense I know exactly what that's like, so I have empathy for that. They'll call your bluff. I like that. So what that means is you have to start training them early before this. So we have a couple months here. So do you start doing a few kind of long distance travel and just practice? We're bypassing this next rest stop. You're all going to hold it. What does that look like? What does that feel like? No.
What's that? So we're going to test it out here.
Start training.
Do you put them in diapers to try it out, or you just go? if my 14-year-old, he can hold it, you know? I'm not worried about him. It's the 3-year-old who's just, like, itching to get out of the car and, doesn't have a problem with calling me on it.
I mean, just potty train not too long ago. Maybe diapers are going to revert back. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Man,
So the chartering thing is kind of big because we need a bathroom. Yeah. We want a bathroom.
Absolutely.
All right. So I have a quote here. All right. This is for a bus. All right. And I don't want you to get disheartened or anything, but it's a quote. And I told them I want a bathroom. So I said, hey, I'll take an 18-passenger van. I'll take whatever you got, but I want a bathroom. Mm. Yep. Okay. So they're saying that we're probably going to need an extra driver because it's so far, right?
Do they stop? And, is there an overnight, or are they just driving? Are they doing a deadhead, just drive straight through because they're going to have two drivers?
Yeah, I think they just deadhead, and then they swap drivers somewhere. So that's kind of how they do it. But because we requested a bathroom, they put us in a 49-passenger coach bus.
Yeah, like a Greyhound or so, yep.
That's the smallest thing they had with a bathroom. So basically think like those shuttle buses, there's no restrooms in them. So this is kind of what we're stuck with. Okay. Now, they also did it as two ways. So there and back. And I told them that we were leaving on the 3rd. And then coming back, I think was on the – oh, so they said they could pick us up on the 3rd, drop us off on the 4th.
Okay.
So we'd be there like the next day in the evening. So they'd pick us up at 8 a.m. on the 3rd, drop us off at 7 p.m. on the 4th. So basically two days.
Bad.
You know?
That's moving. Okay.
Yeah, which isn't bad at all. And then, so then basically looking at the same kind of thing on the way back too, right? So I forget what day it was. I think it was a couple days after the conference ended. All right. So, hey, listen to the amenities. You want to hear this? It's good. All right. Two rows of two with an aisle down the middle, all seats facing the driver, high back bucket reclining seats.
Exactly, yeah.
AC or heat. Now, this is going to be in November, right? That's the other factor, is that weather could be an issue.
We're going to be going over at least two mountain passes, perhaps three. So,
yeah. They have both AM and FM stereo.
That's pretty good.
Onboard restroom and CD DVD players with drop-down TVs.
I'm feeling this. I'm with
you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are you with me?
This sounds okay. Pretty plush.
All right. This is pretty good.
Okay. I'm looking forward to sleeping in it already, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So 3,500 miles total.
Do they have the flat, kind of like you do in business class or first class?
I think it's just on the recliner side.
We can work with that.
Yeah, but high back bucket. Okay. Good. All right. And it comes out to a meager $14,000, pretty much even.
I'm sorry. Why don't you just say that one more time, Mr. Jones?
Yeah. No, I mean, so the 49 passenger comes out to a little bit over $14,000.
Okay. So if we take 14,000 here and divide that by 49, what we're saying is $285 a person. For my 2-year-old, I'm paying $285.
Well, that's if you fill it, right? That's if you fill it. But right now they have our party sizes as 16. So that means that we're only paying basically $875 a person.
Do you think the price goes up if we had a larger party? Or is that just $14,000 for the bus?
I would imagine it's probably just for the bus and the driver.
Well, you have to know your options. And we're just doing a little intel here. We're just trying to – we're getting our spreadsheets together. And this is good information.
Well, yeah, so that's the initial record. So I thought that was pretty encouraging, and it kind of just gave us a baseline. Right. Okay, so I'm really not looking at anything that's over 14,000 because I've already found something that can suit my needs at 14,000. Like, how are they going to get any better than this?
That sounds really good. So the next way we could get there is by flying, not – as we charter, but maybe we take a commercial airline. And so I'm assuming we could do round trip tickets for all of our family for less than $800 a person.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, easy.
And then you just have to think through the different TSA options and things like that. You want to be wise about how we fly. But okay, that sounded a little bit more a little more attractive.
Yeah, no, I think I looked at the flights, the tickets, and it was probably about $330 a person per seat. That was two ways, round trip. So that obviously doesn't include a vehicle or lodging or any of that. But neither does this bus.
Well, okay. So, well, Mr. Joe, I think what we're finding out is there's a cost to everything, and the conference has to be, we have to look again, if we go back to the original questions that we were asking ourselves, how important is this conference to our families and to the future? And I think in order, one of the other things that I always had thought about was these types of conferences, very few and far between. Part of our responsibility to attend this is to encourage the sponsors that this is a group of people who are vocal and who are passionate about finding out how to, one, serve our culture, serve our community, serve our leaders, serve each other, as our religious liberties are being attacked. And if we don't go, we may actually send the message that we don't care, that we're a silent voice. And then we're going to be sitting back at home arguing, or not arguing, but just communicating about how much our religious liberties are being taken away, but we never actually went to do something about it. And part of the message I want to give my children is we are going to start doing things about this. We're not going to sit idly by. We're going to be a light. It's time to be a light to the nation. And this is the opportunity to do it. And there are sacrifices. I'm not sure I can save.
Let me count the ways.
I'm not sure I can save $14,000 in the next couple months. I'm not sure, but I'm looking. Maybe this is an opportunity to ask for donations. I don't know. No.
Yes. Click the link on the bottom of the page.
But
you will get a signed copy of a picture.
But there are cheaper ways than $14,000 to get there. But it is a sacrifice that I believe we really need to consider and take not sitting down. This is pretty important for us to do. So, okay. Well, I think this is our first episode. So
yeah, I think it was good.
I just want to thank you, Mr. Graham, for leading that conversation and the research you did to, and kind of brighten our day here at the end.
Yeah, no, it was my pleasure.
Anyway, Freedom Conference 2015. We're big fans. We're big supporters. And it's in Iowa, which is, if you look, you know, it's relatively middle of the country. So, hopefully, we're just going to pack that place out. How cool would it be if we pack it out and it just becomes the conference? You know, it's just a few weeks before the caucus is there in Iowa, right? And so
yeah,
it could be pretty significant, mm-hmm, and maybe get picked up by some of the larger media outlets.
Yeah, it could. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen, but yeah, I mean, obviously once they start getting people solidified that they're going to be coming, they'll start publishing that information. And then the bigger that the conference is, the number of people they say are attending, then obviously that gains a lot more traction and that'll make it more, highlighted for everyone else in the area. You good? You ready to take this to
I think print? So.
All right. Yeah, that was great. It was good to talk with you, and I'm looking forward to doing this again in the near future. So, yeah, from Joe and from Dan, the Recon cast, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of ReconCast. Don't forget to visit ReconstructionLife.com and ReconstructionistRadio.com.